Good morning, everyone. Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association for our monthly managed care call for 2022, sponsored by Right Dose, a Guardian Pharmacy. Appreciate the sponsorship and the work that we've done and with Guardian, Right Dose Pharmacy for as long as I can remember. Honestly, they've been a great partner of the association and always willing to step in, and so. Want to give them a shout out on our calls here. If you are looking for pharmacy services, this is obviously a partner of the association through sponsorships. And so that could be a potential option to meet your needs. We'll flip into informational letters is kind of how I like to start a lot of these calls. And there were a few that have come out within the last month that would be of importance to you all. The first one is informational letter 2302. If you're a nursing facility, this is the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund. So this is the RIF money for major improvements or renovations in a nursing facility that exceed $1.5 million. There's an extra pool of funding that you could be eligible for through an application process. That's again input letter 2302. I know one of the big big pieces of this of eligibility criteria is meeting the Medicaid threshold, which means you need to have 40% of your licensed capacity needs to be Medicaid as far as the criteria goes to qualify for that program. We have received some additional feedback that if you are closer to 40% of your occupancy, you could be eligible still. Which need to go through a different process for that. And if you have questions on that, I can certainly help you with that process if you feel like that's something that you would qualify for. The next one I want to talk about is input letter 2309. This is the HCBS ARPA recruitment and retention grants. And so this is for waiver services, and it's specifically, there's several different options, but for this group, it's likely if you provide agency CDAC, you would be eligible for this grant program. Again, it's info letter 2309. What this is doing is it's a grant of funds through the American Rescue Plan Act that would allow you to receive funding to help retain workers and recruit new workers. And so what you're basically doing is you're filling out this form, which is pretty simple. Filling out the form, telling them how many workers you have that would be eligible for the retention, and then how many openings you have, and that would be eligible for the recruitment side of this. It's pretty quick, pretty easy to complete. I was looking at some estimates from the department, and they anticipated just based off of a sample that it could be around 2,500 per person. I would definitely look into that if you're an agency CDAC provider. Again, info letter 2309. We've run it in the bulletin. So if you're looking for it there, otherwise you can literally just Google Iowa Medicaid informational letter 2309 and you'll be able to pull it up. But there is a due date on that program. Let me look at it quick. I can tell you when that is. I want to say it's coming up here. February 18th is when those grant applications need to be in. And like I said, the app is pretty easy to fill out. I'd look at it, make sure you have all the info that you need, and then get that in if you can, because I think it'd be a good opportunity, especially with many workforce challenges that we're having right now. And then the last one that I have is info letter 2308. And what that is it's the stakeholder meeting on EVV. And so, as you know, everyone's well aware, we've transitioned part of our personal care services, or transitioned our personal care services over to the EVV program. As part of the Cures Act, it is expected that home health services fall under EVV beginning January 1, 2023. And so that process is beginning to move now. So that informational letter is notifying everyone that, you know, this will be happening and that there's going to be some educational sessions and some listening sessions coming up here in the next couple months to talk about this process. And we're trying to get it going. I know the department's trying to get it going. The MCOs are as well, getting it, the process moving in the first part of the year. So that way we have through the remainder of the year to, you know, be able to make sure everything's running as smoothly as we can as we transition our home health services over to the EVV program as required by the Cures Act. So again, that's info letter 2308. You'll be able to look at that, sign up for their virtual meetings. Again, those are still a couple months out, but the IL came out recently. And you'll be able to fill out a form to register for those. So if you are a home health agency, I'd probably recommend that you sign up for those if your services are transferring to EVV 1123. Ooh, okay. Well, with that, I will provide an opportunity for Jeannie and anyone on her team, if you have any updates you'd like to start with before we go into our question.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brandon. All right. Recredentialing is well underway now, so please review any materials and be cognizant of any deadlines and return dates that you may see on those. So just want to give everyone a heads up. Everyone's recredentialing date is different, and that is every 3 years. So if you happen to see that come your way, please submit that information. There is a general letter that comes out with that is specific to your organization. And if you have additional questions, there is an email address on there as well. And if you need any further assistance from that, please reach out to your provider relations person and they will help assist in getting those answers for you.
With that, Jeannie, I'm sorry to cut you off there.
No.
Since Iowa Total Care came in to this date effective with an effective date of 7/1/19, obviously we would be in that 3-year window now. Should most providers expect to have some kind of recredentialing within the next 6 months or so, or have been within the next few months?
We already started about 2 months ago. So yeah.
Okay. I guess as a provider on the call, that will be something that you will be receiving. And so making sure that you are looking at that and meeting those deadlines, because it will apply to everyone. So anyways, thanks, Jeannie. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. Any other questions, please feel free to break in, Brandon, anytime. You're allowed. All right. The other update I wanted to share with you is that Provider Relations has been working very diligently on getting additional training out on our website. We currently have two on-demand trainings, provider portal training and recruitment training, and we have others that are being completed at this time, and they will also be out there shortly. I have shared the link to where the provider training is if you would like to go out there and take a look at that. And I do see a question in the chat, and my Stellar staff has already looked at that information for us, Brandon. Why is only the first page of the outpatient Medicaid authorization form available on the Iowa Total Care website? And can't tell you about Amerigroup, but she indicates do they need to go to the Medicaid for the supplemental page? And no, you do not. I will put that momentarily into the chat for you for the supplemental page.
Is that located in a different spot, or I guess, is that close to that outpatient authorization to where we would know and be able to access that supplemental piece easily? I'm not sure. So that's why I asked.
No, that's a great question. I believe that it is on the same page.
Okay. Looks like someone said right below it in the chat. So that's perfect.
There you go. Thank you, Deidre. Appreciate it. Rockstar team right there.
That's right. There you go. The one question that we had submitted ahead of time, and I'll just kind of ask it, and I know that you provided a little bit of feedback already, Jeannie. We had a provider reach out about some challenge that they've been having with transportation. You know, I know some examples that they had given was they'd either just not show up completely, even after having received a confirmation the day before that they would be there, or showing up a couple hours late for, say, a dialysis appointment, and then they missed their appointment time slot, which is obviously very troublesome for that resident or that patient who's needing the transportation. So I just asked the question of, you know, what's the expectation of the transportation company that Iowa Total Care was working with? And I guess maybe what can a provider do if they are experiencing this frequently? And it sounded like, you know, for this in particular provider, they're in Northwest Iowa. They'd had a couple different challenges with transportation. So I just wanted to pose the question.
Absolutely. No, we're glad to help answer that question. And Brendan, I don't know if I won't read all the information that I have that I did share with you, but if you'll share the rest of that information with your association, I'm sure that they will find that helpful. I'm going to start off with sharing information in the chat as to the transportation brochure information that we have. It's kind of like key highlights and information, so you can definitely go there. Our transportation vendor is Access to Care, and we are definitely wanting to make sure that if you are having issues and regarding this type of opportunity, that you let us know, that we can get information to our Access to Care liaison here at Iowa Total Care. You can also contact Access to Care folks directly and have that conversation with them. We ask that they call within at least 2 business days in advance of the appointment. Reservations can be made up to 30 days in advance. If a member needs a ride to dialysis, chemotherapy, or radiation treatment, schedule a ride up to 90 days in advance, because we definitely know that how important that is, and those folks are on a cadence for receiving that information. So for non-urgent rides, members can expect to arrive within 15 minutes of a scheduled appointment time. For urgent and return rides, drivers should be picking up members within 60 minutes of the request. And we... the phone number, I will share that information too, in terms of if you have barriers to the transportation, like you shared with me, Brendan, they can certainly contact this number that I am going to share.
I did just put your how to contact us section from your email into the chat too. So I don't know if that's the same number or not.
Possibly could be. So yes, please reach out to that phone number, you know, if you are having any concerns, and ask for a manager. We want to make sure that their members' experience is very positive. So I'm not sure what other questions I can help answer on that, but I can tell you in closing that we are happy to assist in any way we can, and appreciate your patience and partnership as we work through COVID and such. I'm not making excuses. I don't have a line of sight if, you know, the folks may have, I don't know what the time frames are, how late the person was picking them up. I gather from the information or the question, Brendan, that maybe, you know, they were kind of lax in getting there and stuff like that. But we will definitely do everything within our power to ensure that the passengers are picked up appropriately within the specified time frames from Access to Care.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeannie. I don't know if anyone on the call has any questions or comments, I suppose, regarding transportation, or any other question or comment for that matter. because we are through the, that was the only question that was submitted ahead of time. And besides the question we got in the chat about authorization forms, I do see another one that's come in now. This question might be a Hillary. I have a few payments that seem to be stuck in the Iowa Total Care system. The claim shows the paid amount, but no payment date, total check amount. Does show received date of 1-6-22. I've had other claims paid after that date. Were there any reason why a claim would maybe sit showing a paid status but without having issued payment for that long, Hillary?
There are a few situations where the claim can pend in the system. It really depends on particular scenarios with that particular claim. But Karen, if you can put in the chat where you're from, we can take a look at your claims and see what's causing those to be stuck and try to push them along.
Maybe put your email to Karen, then they have a way to get back to you. Any other questions for our team at Iowa Total Care? Provider relations team members are on, several of them, and several individuals from claims as well. So if you are having some questions, I think now would be a good opportunity to be able to ask those. And if you'd like, you can unmute as well if you have a question that you'd like to ask that way. Quiet bunch today.
Yes. That's not all bad.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Jeannie. Well, obviously the ability to ask questions or if you have any issues, it's not limited to this call. Those questions can be asked of your provider rep at any time. Also, you can ask me. I can try to answer any questions that you may have and try to help you with any resolution that may need to take place. But with that, I don't see any more questions coming in. So we may be wrapping this one up early. We do have our call with Amerigroup following. At 11:30. And so we can give our team members from Iowa Total Care 40 minutes back, I suppose, of their day. So
all right,
again,
thanks, Brian.
Yeah, appreciate you all joining us today. As always, if anyone on the call has any questions, feel free to submit those ahead of time. We like to get those out to them prior to the call. And thank you again to Right Dose, a Guardian Pharmacy, for sponsoring our Iowa Total Care MCO call for today. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.